Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser kicking off hour two. We are joined with NFL Network analyst Chad Ryder. Chad, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing excellent. The draft is almost here. Very excited. And, this is my time of year.
I can imagine. So, Chad, we'll get right into it here. In Nashville, one of the biggest conversations is, what will our local team do? Will they trade up to get a quarterback? And over the last couple of days, there's been some smoke as to if the Houston Texans will end up taking a quarterback at number two overall. What are your thoughts on that? Do you believe that they still are in that quarterback contention, or think that they could potentially pass on it this year?
Well, I mean, you know, anything's possible, which is why we love the draft, right? Because we don't know until it happens. But historically, teams that have two first-round picks, it's happened where they've taken a quarterback with their second pick rather than their first. But typically, that's more in the, you know, in the 20s and the later part of the round, maybe, where the top couple of quarterbacks have gone and they're looking for that next tier. I would be pretty surprised if the Texans didn't take a quarterback at two and, meet another need at their 12th pick. So I'm guessing they will. The trade spot is really Arizona. And if somebody, you know, whatever team it is, they're getting tons of calls right now to try, and they'll try to get the best deal they can. So that would be where I would think that the move up would be.
Chad, the way I describe this quarterback class, other than CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, is very, very polarizing. You got Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, and some are even pushing Hendon Hooker up there with those two as well. How do you view this quarterback class? And out of the three that I just mentioned, who do you believe will translate the best into the pros?
Well, I've said for a few weeks now that Anthony Richardson could be the best player in the class. I think that he is the kind of playmaker that teams can overlook sometimes during the draft process and then turn out to be an excellent player. For example, Mitch Trubisky versus Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
And I think Richardson should be in the conversation for number one, and that he, you know, should be one of the top three picks in this draft. I think Levis reminds me more of a Jay Cutler type of player that will be in that, you know, 10 to 14 range. And then Hendon Hooker will probably be, you know, the next guy up somewhere in the later third part of the round. But, you know, they all have the ability to become good NFL quarterbacks. And I think teams will recognize that and they'll go, you know, pretty high because of it.
We're talking to Chad Ryder from the NFL Network. Chad, we've seen the last couple years be stacked atop the draft with some really talented receivers. This year's a little bit different, where we see receivers kind of going later towards the end of the first round. Do you think there is a true number one receiver in this draft? And what would be the number one receiver that you would select off the board this year?
I think Jackson Smith and Jigbo will be a number one receiver. I think, you know, he's not necessarily the fastest guy in terms of straight line speed, but his agility, his ability to, you know, find holes in zones, his reliability as a receiver. Look, this guy came in as a freshman and kept Jameson Williams on the bench, who could have won the Heisman at Alabama 2 years ago. So I think he is a special player, and I think he'll become one special player. And I think anywhere between, you know, Atlanta at eight and Houston at 12, he'll come off the board, and he's going to make an impact as a rookie.
Now, when it comes to this time of year, there's so much smoke screen and so much deception that goes on when it comes to the NFL draft. Which team do you see as a surprise team, or a team that nobody is really looking at, that can make a huge splash come draft night?
Well, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people think Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, you know, will go in the 20s or something, but I've had him in my top 10 to 12 the whole time, and I think a team like Arizona If they trade down between one and, you know, six, seven spots, depending on the team that they trade with, I think they took a serious look at Bijan Robinson. And, you know, there's a lot of talented edge rushers up there, so they may go that way. But if you're looking for a surprise that I've been looking for a while, that would be the main surprise that people really aren't talking about right now.
We've got Chad Ryder on from the NFL Network with us. You've been a draft follower for over 25 years in researching the draft. Who do you think this year, outside of the quarterback position, Chad, is the most interesting player in your book? Who do you think, you know, could be maybe underrated, not viewed as much, or just somebody that you believe is going to be a star someday?
Well, I think really a lot of negative talk about Jalen Carter out of Georgia, and, you know, it's understandable. But he's got the chance to be really special in the NFL, and I think he matures as he gets to his new team, becomes a professional, and really and just starts to use his talent to its maximum. And I think he's got a chance to be a very special player. And the other guy I'll note is Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. He's just starting to become what he's going to become someday. And a team picking him, and his game isn't necessarily like a J.J. Watt type game, but he reminds me a lot of J.J. coming out, because some teams weren't sure. Like, he went 11th, right? And so he should have gone higher. But, you know, some teams aren't sure what he's going to become and where he plays and all that. But I think, honestly, a guy like Van Ness is going to, you know, whether he plays at five technique, whether he plays inside or outside, eventually it's just going to turn out that he's one of the best players in this class.
Now, I want to kind of switch over to the offensive lineman into this draft, because there's a lot of interesting prospects, but the guy that I've been seeing kind of going up and down on various different mock drafts is Peter Skoronski. I was reading your multi-round mock draft from a few days ago, and you had Peter Skoronski going at 13 to the New York Jets. Do you think that he will genuinely fall out of the top 10? And is that more or less because of his size and arm length and that he might play guard? Or what's kind of the telltale about him as a prospect?
Yeah, I think I've had him going between 11. Like, for he was my pick for Tennessee, you know, coming out of the gate from the combine. So I think he goes in the 11 to 13 range. And like his, you know, former teammate Rashawn Slater coming out, teams have enough question marks about the size and the arm length and his viability as a left tackle to, you know, make him available. Now, could Chicago take him at 9? Sure. I mean, he's a really good player. But I think that arm, you know, a guy with his length doesn't get picked in the top 10 very often. The last guy was Robert Gallery many years ago coming out of Iowa, and that pick didn't turn out so great. So I think he's a really good player that'll probably play guard or center. You know, bright guy who could step into the center spot. And so I think that 11 to 13 is kind of his range.
We've got Chad Ryder on with the NFL Network on with us. So, Chad, Ian Rappaport just came out and said that South Carolina cornerback Cam Smith is going on a visit to the Tennessee Titans today, and then he will head to the Jags tomorrow. Is there anything specifically you know about him as a prospect and what he can bring to the NFL level?
Yeah, versatile guy. He'll play at about 180 or so pounds, but he's so physical. And such a competitive player. You can play him in the slot. You can play him outside. Some teams may look at him at playing some deep safety. So really, really good player. And I think that would be a pick for the Titans. That would be if they got a chance to move up in the second round, for example, and he's still on the board. That would be a great pick for him. You know, or if they trade down out of 11 and get more into the – because – You know, there's a lot of talk about them trading up, but I think just as likely is a trade down if they decide, you know, we're not interested in Levis and Hooker at this point. Then, you know, they could move down into an area where they could get Cam Smith. And, you know, he's going to be a fantastic pro. I've had him in my first round since the beginning. And I think he's just one of these competitive guys, tough guys that won't back down from any receiver.
And you think he would be available early second round?
Potentially. There's, you know, because the difference between the 24th pick and the 48th pick in this draft, and in most drafts, is pretty, you know, they're pretty similar players. So he could go late first, or he could drop, you know, into the first few parts of the second round, and Tennessee might be able to go and get him.
Lastly here for you, Chad, a lot of fans here in Tennessee are really interested with Hendon Hooker, as he had an excellent season with the Vols this past year. What is it about Hendon Hooker that kind of puts him outside of that top four range to where, you know, teams are kind of looking at him as a late first round, an early second round pick? Why is that a guy like that that had so much production in college is kind of falling out of the pack of those top four quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, he was never in the pack to start with. And I think, you know, it's sort of interesting how this works, how guys have a tough time breaking into that top group if they weren't there to start with in some years. Certainly in that, I mean, teams are going to wonder about what he's going to do outside of Josh Heupel's offense. And that's going to be one of the questions. You know, coming off the non-contact injury, you know, for a guy that part of his game, not his main game, he's a pocket guy, but part of his game is scrambling, mm-hmm. And, you know, and getting out there and striding for big games when he's get the opportunity. So it's going to be interesting. That's kind of where he's at. Now, there are some guys that'll say, you know, I don't think there's a consensus about where he falls. I think some people would put him third or fourth in that group, and some people would put him, you know, fifth. So it won't shock me if somebody decides, like, Tampa Bay or somebody trades up into the late teens to get him. There might be a team that really likes him that much. But I think, really, in terms of, you know, he was more considered in that Geno Smith, kind of that second round area for most teams, I think. And look, quarterbacks get pushed up in mock drafts at the end of the year, right? It happens every time. And sometimes they get picked in the first, and sometimes they end up as second or third round picks. So there's no guarantees of anything at this point. But, you know, he, as you said, he's very productive this year when he's in the pocket, when everything around him is good and he doesn't have to move a lot. When he's making that first read and getting rid of the ball, he does very well. So there's a lot of things he does really well, and he could become a starting quarterback in the league. But, you know, sometimes we get excited about these guys and push them into the first round. So it's going to be really interesting to see where he ends up going.
Chad, just one last question before we let you go. How do you view Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman, two wide receivers out of Tennessee? Cedric was hurt this past season, and Jalin Hyatt took a huge leap forward. But who do you think will translate better into the NFL?
Well, I think especially for receivers, it's team fit is really important. So if Hyatt ends up with the Chiefs, which I've had them moving up to get him, you know, it's a great fit for him because he's the deep threat that they need. He can make some plays after the catch on screens. A lot of people think he's just a deep threat guy, but, you know, he can do a little bit of that as well. So if he gets with the Chiefs, you know, he's going to be really, really productive right away. And I, you know, generally I like him. I don't think he's the top of the heap here, but I think in the right system, he's going to be really explosive. I love Cedric Tillman. He is underrated. He's not the fastest guy again, but he's a big, thick body. And I really like, he went up against Kelee Ringo, you know, Georgia this year, and his stop routes, like, Kelee could not stay with him. And that kind of short area quickness for a guy who's a big like that, big broad. We used to call those guys West Coast possession receivers.
Love it.
Honestly, I think he can do more than that. So I really like him. Probably in the second round, maybe he slips into the third, but he's going to be a great player either way.
Chad Ryder, thanks for joining us, NFL Network analyst. We appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, of course. That was Chad Ryder, NFL Network analyst, and the NFL Network will provide live coverage of the 2023 NFL Draft in Kansas City, April 27th, 29th. Inching closer to that, June. You got a lot to recap on the other side of Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Keiser. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical studios this morning. We've been asking everybody to text in all show long, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Nashville Predators are officially eliminated from the playoffs last night with the Winnipeg Jets win over Minnesota. Text us your thoughts on this season. How do you feel as we round out things? There's two more games left. The Barry Trotz will be taking over things middle of the summer. The draft will be here. What is your vibe heading into next season and your takeaway from this season? We want to hear from you all show long. Got about 45 minutes left with Junie and I. We just had Chad Ryder on, who has been an NFL analyst for about 20 years, works for the NFL Network right now, and we got his intake on a lot of different players. One of the biggest takeaways, I think, was his view on Hendon Hooker, Junie, because we look at this draft right now, and we look at all the quarterbacks that are in this draft, and you know the likelihood of all of these guys panning out, the likelihood of one guy being an elite franchise quarterback, game changer, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow-esque guy is very small because we've only seen it happen so few times, right? The guy needs to get drafted to an organization and it really just needs to work out perfectly. We talk about Patrick Mahomes' situation, right? He gets drafted, he sits behind Alex Smith. The Chiefs were already a playoff team. They already had a lot in play. So then yes, he has amazing talent and has surpassed a lot of people's expectations, but the system, the organization, the coach, everything really aligned for him. Joe Burrow is completely opposite. He goes number one overall to the Bengals, a team that was a playoff team here and there, but they could never get over the hump. And he actually was able to take a team to the Super Bowl with, you know, a really bad offensive line, but star wide receivers. So, you know, when you look at the way we view these quarterbacks, it's really easy, and Chad mentioned this, that in mock draft season, which we are in the heat of it right now, they will go up and down. And I remember up until the day or two before the draft last year, I think Malik Willis was a first rounder, and he ended up dropping to the third round, and Kenny Pickett was the only one who went in the first round. So I do believe that all of these quarterbacks will go in the first round because they're better prospects than some of the other quarterbacks in the class last year. But, you know, when you talk about Hendon Hooker and you talk about his phenomenal career with Tennessee, and you talk about, you know, a guy like Will Levis who had an awful year with Kentucky, and you talk about Anthony Richardson who was the complete surprise that he even was declaring for the draft and not going back to college. Just talking about those three guys for right now, because we already know C.J. Stroud and we already know Bryce Young, what they are going as, you know, the top two prospects in this draft. But I think when you look at all three of these guys, they are so incredibly polarizing. I mean, some people believe that Hendon Hooker can be a Kirk Cousins comparison. And, you know, if you're telling me you can draft Kirk Cousins right now at 11th overall, I'm thinking, heck yeah, I'm doing that. Heck yeah, I'm drafting a guy like Kirk Cousins who's been able to be a stable guy.
I would disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Are you kidding?
Kirk Cousins? He has one playoff win.
Junie, but
he barely wins in any kind of primetime games. It's like, yeah, Kirk Cousins puts up great stats, but what does that get you? He's choked so many times. I would not if you told me Kirk Cousins was available at 11, I'm like, no.
But the longevity and what I mean, think about it. You could If you knew you were getting him,
I still know, and I think if you ask Titans fans, text in. I would love to hear the response to this. Titans fans, if you were
I'll ask you the same thing about what if it was Ryan Tannehill? If you knew you were going to get a guy like Ryan Tannehill, I mean, think about when you are drafting a quarterback in the draft. Think about the Mitch Trubisky's. Think about, you know, the Baker Mayfields as of recent. There are so many guys who go in the top round who you give up so much to, whether you trade up or whether you draft them, that are busts. If you knew you were getting a guy like a Kirk Cousins, like a Ryan Tannehill at 11, I mean, and you're a franchise, I'd 100% do it.
I would disagree. You know, Ryan Tannehill had absolutely zero success in Miami, and Kirk Cousins had zero success in Washington. And that's why they're in different places, because quarterbacks like that don't have a tremendous amount of upside have to go to a new team in order to be a part of a roster that's a bit more filled out. high-end, you know, talking about Tannehill coming here to Tennessee. And the only reason that he has any sort of success whatsoever is because of a historic run in the playoffs by Derrick Henry. And then I look at Kirk Cousins. He had to go, you know, get an Adam Thielen and a Stephon Diggs in Minnesota for him to have any sort of semblance of success in this league. Like, if you're telling me that I'm borderline a top 10 pick and I can't even win you a playoff game with the team that drafted you, like, I don't think that that's worth it at all.
But it's the quarterback position, Junie. It is the hardest position to hit on and to succeed on at that level. I mean, if you were to compile every quarterback drafted in the top 20, we'll say, top 20, over the last 7 years, I mean, how many of them actually have been successful or elite, we'll say elite, in that upper echelon tier? It is so incredibly hard to get a quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes, like a Joe Burrow. It is another tier of elite, and so few franchises ever even get the opportunity to get a guy like that. If you have somebody who can be a solid quarterback for you for years and you know it ahead of time rather than a complete bust who never ends up panning out for you at the quarterback position, I mean, you 100% do it if you're a franchise. We have to go to break, but we are going to continue this conversation on the other side. Junie has some thoughts. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Six teams are considering moving up in the NFL draft to the number 3 spot. That's Arizona. Okay, and they're not moving up for an edge rusher. They're moving up for a quarterback. So the closer you get to the draft, teams fall in love with a quarterback's upside. We saw it with Philadelphia and Carson Wentz and Washington and RG3. And the Packers moved up for Jordan Love's athleticism. And Trey Lance of the Niners, they move up. And it works. Josh Rosen, Arizona. It works just enough. Mahomes, Chiefs, Josh Allen, Bills, Lamar Jackson, Ravens, the teams they'll keep trying. But the truth is, it doesn't really work ever unless you have things in place.
Colin Cowherd on the quarterback position. When does it actually work if you trade up to get a quarterback in this draft? Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. The Preds have a game tomorrow night, and it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes and Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in a game tomorrow night, which I am very bad at doing, and I'm in last place of this competition, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 on Robbie and Rex Road. Also, Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live show tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 p.m. See your Predator star players up close and personal, plus get some autographs and pictures. The Preds player guests tonight are Jake Livingstone and Spencer Stainsty. Smashville Live. Oh my goodness, guys, I can't speak today. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating, Cooling, and Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila. Pure and simple. I am tongue twister all over the place right now. A lot of texts on the text line regarding our quarterback conversation we were having, Junie. I said, if you knew you were going to get a Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins type of quarterback at pick 11, you would draft that guy knowing what you have in the future. And the reason I say this is because we've seen so many people draft quarterbacks that are complete busts and don't work out. I mean, Colin Cowherd brought up Josh Rosen. You can go down the list of guys, Mitch Trubisky with the Bears. I mean, you can go down the list of guys that people, whether they trade up to get, whether they draft them where they are, whether they take a chance on somebody to draft a quarterback, and it doesn't work out. So the way I look at it is, if you knew you were going to get a type of quarterback like that, you would draft them at number 11. Junie?
Completely disagree. If you know you're getting a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill, a guy that has, you know, little upside that can take you over the top, then I wouldn't say little upside. I wouldn't do that. I mean, listen, they don't have the success. They are quarterbacks that are middle of the pack. They're the quarterbacks that are going to get you knocking on the doorstep and fail every single time. Bottom line is when you draft a guy, you want to get that superstar. And if you don't get that superstar, you don't want to get that happy, mediocre player that's going to keep you, you know, in the playoffs and losing in the first round every single year, year in and year out.
That's not true. They got to the AFC Championship with Ryan Tannehill.
And again, what did Ryan Tannehill do to get to the AFC Championship? He did nothing.
Well, he did nothing. He didn't lose it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because Derrick Henry is getting the ball 30-plus times and running for nearly 200 yards a game.
He still got there.
And that's great, but the Titans had a really good core around him in that year. Kirk Cousins, the same thing. He had to have two super elite-level receivers to be able to have any semblance of success whatsoever. So my point in all this is when you get guys like Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins in the draft, getting a guy like that puts you in a really bad situation because they're good enough to the point where you want to see where it goes. And if you pay a guy like that, you're stuck. There's a reason that Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill aren't with the teams that drafted them. Because when you go into a negotiation and you're trying to re-sign a quarterback and the market's here and the level of the play of the quarterback is here, sometimes those deals just flat out don't get done. And that's why Miami and Washington moved off those two guys. They are not the kind of quarterbacks that are going to take you to the promised land. That's why year in and year out, I see mock drafts all the time that have the Titans, and it's a conversation that we have on the show every day. Are they going to go up and get a quarterback so that they can have a better prospect for the future? The Minnesota Vikings have been a team that a lot of people have drafting to go get their quarterback because they're ready to go and move on as well.
Question for you. You would rather draft a quarterback at 11 and – if he was a bust, feel better about that than getting a guy like Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill?
It would be easier to move on from. I mean, look at the Bears. The Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky in 2017, traded up to the number two pick. They sucked with him. They made the playoffs a couple times, but again, didn't do anything.
Okay, The Chiefs had Alex Smith, and then you draft Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that goes into what Cowherd is saying. That's what he's saying. Is if you have the team built around the quarterback, that's when you should go and get a guy because then you're putting them in a good situation.
But your point is if you have a mediocre quarterback, which the Chiefs did, they had a guy who could get them to the playoffs, couldn't get over the hump, you're saying that you can never then get off of him and get a star quarterback, which is exactly what we saw the Chiefs do and exactly what we saw the Cincinnati Bengals
that
do
is such
with
an
Joe
outlier,
Burr.
Though.
Joe Burrow! Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, the two best quarterbacks in the league.
They didn't trade up for Joe Burrow.
I'm not saying trade up. I'm saying if you are where you are at 11th right now, okay, the Chiefs did it. What your argument is what we've seen happen with two generational quarterbacks, two franchises, the Chiefs, who had Alex Smith. They were able to get into the playoffs. He was an average quarterback. You draft Patrick Mahomes at 12th or whatever he was. Then you're able to get your guy. Okay, we saw it happen then with Cincinnati. They had Andy Dalton. They were a playoff team but couldn't, you know, ever really do anything in the playoffs. Then you go and you get Joe Burrow. So why at 11th you would rather bust? You would rather bust on your 11th overall pick than know you're getting a guy like Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill? Because I'm pretty sure right now, if you're Washington, you'd probably want to have Kirk Cousins back.
Which I would say no.
Who's our quarterback
right now? Sam Howell. But again, they listen. But they're not gonna have all the pieces around. They're not gonna listen. If you would have held on to Kirk Cousins, they wouldn't be in the situation that they were in now. They would have been happy mediocre. Nah. They probably wouldn't have Terry McLaurin. They probably wouldn't get Chase Young in the draft, having him as an edge rusher. Like, there's a lot of pieces on there because they were bad that they built up a roster that now that they're a quarterback away. If you hold on to mediocre quarterbacks and you stay in that happy middle, you're never going to improve your roster. You're going to spend way too much money on a guy that's not going to get you over the hump, and it's going to put you in a bad situation.
So Miami has improved their roster tremendously. What have they done since they moved on from Ryan Tannehill?
Absolutely nothing.
Thank you. But what has Washington done since they moved on from Kirk Cousins?
Bottom line, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, Michelle.
Okay, so my point exactly. So you can't knock Ryan Tannehill and say, well, he couldn't do it. He got to the AFC Championship, but oh, he couldn't do it. Everything was perfect around him. So I'm trying to counter your argument. The argument you're having with me is you wouldn't draft a guy like Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill at 11th if you knew they were going to be what they are in
the current state of the Tennessee Titans. I absolutely would not, because it would be a wasted pick.
No.
If you know you're drafting a guy that's going to be average, then no, I wouldn't draft him. I would draft another need. And I think, it would put a team in a better situation if a quarterback was an absolute bust. That way you know to move off of him, instead of putting a team in a situation to where they're arguably going to overpay for an average guy that's not going to take them over the hump. The worst thing you can do in this league is basically what the Minnesota Vikings are doing right now. And that is overpaying for a guy that has done nothing. He's won one playoff game.
What you're telling me right now, Justin Herbert's won one playoff game.
Justin Herbert is actually young.
No, he hasn't. Has he?
No, he hasn't won one at all. He's been in the league for 3 years.
Wait, so I have countered. So your argument right now is, what you're saying is, no, you can't do that because you're going to be mediocre and you're going to waste. This is what you're saying. You're saying, oh, you're just going to waste, time. You're going to overpay him. And that is your argument. But my argument, I'm giving you real examples of what you said is going to happen, the opposite of that. You said you're going to be stuck with a mediocre quarterback. Well, I gave you the comparison of the Chiefs situation, which I already laid out, and the Bengals situation. Then you said, okay, well, teams need to move off quarterbacks like Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins. Okay, let's look at Washington. What have they done? And however many years ago they moved off Kirk Cousins.
Washington's an awful franchise.
Okay, Miami Dolphins. They have got a sick roster top to bottom.
And they were very competitive in the AFC before Tua got hurt.
Okay, but they didn't make the playoffs.
They did make the playoffs this year.
Or they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
And they were really competitive with a third-string quarterback that if Tua was there, they would have likely beat the Buffalo Bills in that first-round game.
Okay, so...
If that were the case.
Okay, if. And if Ryan Tannehill didn't throw three picks, the Titans probably would have gone to the Super Bowl. You can't play the if card on some teams when it doesn't fit your argument, but then play the... You can't play the if card if it doesn't make my argument.
According to what you're saying right now, if a team knows that the quarterback that they're drafting in, like, inside or right by the top 10 is going to be a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill, your example right there, neither of those guys stuck with the team that drafted them. So basically you're saying that if you draft a guy like that, you're going to end up being in contract negotiations, which is the reason why the Miami Dolphins traded Ryan Tannehill, which is the reason why the Washington Redskins at the time were basically franchising Kirk Cousins in order just to kind of keep him around for the long haul until they could find out option B. And then they got rid of him because they didn't want to hold on to him.
No. I'm not saying, these specific organizations and...
But that's what happens.
No, but let me finish. I'm not saying, specifically what has happened to Ryan Tannehill and they're not with the teams they started with or they got drafted with. What I'm saying, if you knew you were going to get the type of play from a guy like Kirk Cousins or a guy like Ryan Tannehill, we're not talking about where they got drafted and then we're not talking about any of that stuff. I'm just saying, if you knew the level of play you were going to get from a quarterback, would you do it? Weigh in on our phone line. Weigh in on our text line, 615-737-1025. Going to put a bow on things. Want to hear from you guys on this conversation. If you knew you were going to get a quarterback like a Ryan Tannehill, like a Kirk Cousins at 11th overall, would you do it? Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Putting a bow on things here today. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle has been in for Chase McCabe the last couple of days. Junie, we appreciate having you. We appreciate a spirited discussion as we got on the text line. A lot of people weighing in. Some texter texts in, no name, but says, ding, ding, great spirited discussion. I love when we get heated on these things. Nick Kieser with us as well. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. If we head over to the text line, we have got thoughts, Junie Riddle. We have got thoughts on this text line.
Well, let me just say this. The last couple months, because we actually do agree on like Will Levis, and we kind of had the same thoughts on the quarterbacks, and now that the Pred season is wrapping up and we're in draft mode, it's hard for us to disagree. And it's like, finally, we finally found something that we don't agree on, which makes for a great
radio. And it's funny because it was something that I just said in the moment, and we basically just scrapped the rest of the show, and we saw that you all want to talk about this, and we disagreed, so we're going to roll with it. So Adam Brown texts in on the text line, and this is answering the question, if you knew you were going to get a Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins type of player at 11, I say that you would definitely draft them. Junie says no. Adam Brown texts in. I think he makes a really good point. He said, the answer lies in between. If a prospect is being compared to a Cousins or a Tannehill level of play, then that's a good draft pick. You won't know if they have that killer playoff instinct until they're there. Once they're there, if they can't win, they're failing based off of their draft position. I think that's a really good point to make, because if you look at Ryan Tannehill and you look at Kirk Cousins and you look at some of the years that they've been extremely, extremely efficient in the offense that they are in, yes, it might be based off of who they have, what weapons around them, what their offensive line looks like. But if you look at, you know, overall, I mean, I think of the sound from Greeny. Ryan Tannehill is the most underrated sports figure, or whatever he's saying, right? If you look at that, okay, that fits my argument. But the killer instinct part, a lot of times you can't see that at somebody in college, because it's just a different level of play, right?
Yes.
It's a different level of competitiveness, you know, a national game, you're on the stage, NFL is completely different than college football. So to Adam's point, you don't know if they'll have that killer instinct. Sometimes you can see it in college. I think Joe Burrow is a perfect example of that. A perfect example of, you could see that killer instinct in him in college and his ability to thrive under the pressure. I think a guy like Trevor Lawrence, we saw it in that Chargers game, that playoff Chargers game where they had that unreal playoff comeback mode, right? That's the type of guy you want to be your quarterback when you're down that much, you're in a playoff scenario. I left your house at halftime because I said, this isn't even a game anymore. But it's that killer instinct that puts a guy over the edge, Junie.
No, and I completely agree. I just associate the level of play in the playoffs and in the big moments with Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins as part of like who they are. Because we've seen it. I mean, Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs when they went on the run in 2019 was carried by a really good team. The Titans' defensive front was stuffing the run in that playoff. And when it comes to the NFL playoffs, it's all about who can run the ball and who can stop the run the best. Because it's January, February football. It's cold outside. You got to play in the elements in most instances. And it's rough. And the Titans had an all-time performance by Derrick Henry and led them to that. And I just look at those guys, and I look at their talent, and I look at a Ryan Tannehill, and I would say this is more or less on a Kirk Cousins. If Kirk Cousins had that gene in him, that push, that voice in his head that tells him, like, hey, it's go time, let's go out there and make a play, like you had mentioned, like a Trevor Lawrence showed in that Chargers game, like Joe Burrow has in his game, with his arm talent and level of play that we've seen in the regular season, then that would be good. I get that. But I just see that as part of their game, and knowing that year in and year out, they're going to put up great numbers and get great wins in the regular season. They're going to be highly competitive. When you put a full roster with them, they're going to always be there, but they're just not that quarterback that can take you over the top. And that's what would worry me in that situation, knowing that you're sitting there at an 11 spot, and you can either take a guy in a position that is going to be an automatic starter, likelihood if it's not a quarterback, the chances of them busting and you picking them in that position is very low. And I would rather, other than a Tannehill or Kirk Cousins, I would rather go best position available to fill out the roster around what I have, rather than taking a flyer on a quarterback that doesn't have the upside that can take my team over the top. That's where I'm at.
Let's do a fun little game to end out the show today. We've got about 6 minutes for you, Junie. I'm going to run through each team in the NFL, will say their quarterback with them, and you're going to tell me if they have that clutch killer instinct. Okay?
Okay. This is going to be hard for some of them.
It's going to be hard for some of them. Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes. Yes.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Brock Purdy?
I'm going to say No, because they've always had a big lead, and I've never seen him like have to fight to end a game.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Jared Goff.
No.
Green Bay Packers. I guess Aaron Rodgers will say he's their quarterback right now.
Yes.
Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, as of right now, no.
I agree with that. I agree with that statement. Mac Jones.
No.
No. Justin Fields.
Too early to tell.
Too early to tell. I feel that. Daniel Jones with the Giants.
No.
Raiders, I guess Jimmy G? Wait, is he? Yeah, he's
Jimmy
there.
G. Does he have the clutch gene? If he would have hit Emmanuel Sanders in that Super Bowl, I'd say yes, but no. He missed him.
Geno Smith. Seahawks.
No.
No. Burrow, baby.
Yeah.
Bengals, yes.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa, Miami Dolphins.
Hmm. I'm gonna have to go no. I haven't really seen it.
Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely not. I've watched enough of him to know.
Who's the quarterback at the Washington Commanders again?
Sam Howell. I mean, he only started one game.
Carolina Panthers, too early to tell. We don't know who their quarterback is.
We don't know who their quarterback
Russell
is.
Russell Wilson.
I'll say yes.
Okay.
I've seen him come in the clutch plenty of times.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baker, I guess. Or Kyle Trask.
Baker is not clutch at all.
Okay, so no. New York Jets. Wilson or Mike White or
no,
exactly, that says enough of it. Indianapolis Colts, we'll just leave a question mark there.
No.
Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson.
I would say not this past season, but what I've seen in seasons past, yes.
Six. New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr.
Derek Carr definitely has some clutch moments. I could say he has been clutch.
Has he won in the playoffs?
His teams haven't always been there, but Derek Carr has made some plays down the stretch. I would say yes.
Okay. Kyler Murray.
No.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Tannehill, I'm assuming no.
I'm going to say no.
Houston Texans, no idea. Davis Mills,
no idea.
Chargers, Justin Herbert. I guess we're hoping. That's like a we're hoping
it's,
he has
it's
it.
still undetermined. I've seen him have some comebacks in a regular season. He's only gotten one shot in the playoffs, so I would say it's untold right now, but in the regular season, yes.
Falcons, Ritter, no. Haven't even seen him.
Haven't seen him.
Rams, Stafford, Matthew Stafford.
Yes. Oh, he has a lot of comebacks. I mean, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league with comebacks in the fourth quarter. He's clutch.
Dak Prescott.
Absolutely not.
And I think we rounded out. I think that's
there's
it.
There's one quarterback I know you missed.
Oh, I did. Kenny Pickett. I did it. It cut it
way,
off.
Way too early.
Too
but
early.
At the end of the year, he had a couple of fourth quarter drives that were pretty clutch. So I'm leaning towards yes, but I got to be unbiased and say it's way too early to tell. So nine.
I counted.
Nine because there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league right now. We're seeing that transition of the Bradys and the Roethlisbergers and the Rivers and the main guys that we grew up watching. They're on the way out. And so there's a lot of young guys who are unproven, but still nine quarterbacks for, you know, a bunch of teams that don't really have their franchise quarterback right now and a bunch of teams that are in their first couple years with their QB. So it's still too early to say, you know, nine QBs is a decent amount. So I would still say that if you know that your quarterback is going to be a Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill, that you draft another position or you hold off because you just don't want to be in that happy medium. You just don't want to be in that purgatory. It's frustrating to constantly win and be right there on the door and knowing that there's one player holding you back. And that's what's been happening here in Tennessee. It's what has been happening in Minnesota. It's rough for a fan base to go through that.
But is it worth it when you are a Chiefs fan and you get a Patrick Mahomes or a Bengals fan and you get Joe Burrow? Great conversation today with Junie. Junie, thank you for filling in with Chase for the last couple of days. Nick Keyser with us. Coming up next, Caroline Willie in D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.